not a spoon for satire.
Great. Does he want a high five?
Senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection against the United States.
Don't ever reference a We Are Change group to me, ever.
Treason! 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 Ah! I'm sick of it!
Oh, my goodness. Run,
fool. Murdering scum! Murderers! I'm tired of something fun.
Well, in light of recent events, I think I've got to apologize to Ron Paul.
Oh, okay.
Because the entire world's gone crazy.
Yes, yes, it has. It has.
I don't remember this in Biden's campaign speeches. I don't think he was calling for, at least before the election, I don't think he was calling for bombs in Syria before stimuli.
No, but I believe we were expecting it at some point.
We were, yes.
Yeah, I want to double check that. Oh, we're good. Hi, welcome to the show, folks. I know I've not been on. You've heard Ryan's voice a lot. I've been a little busy. Welcome to our great little podcast, as we like to call the Carolina Bellwethering, where we look at this, that, and everything. And we are in the, I don't know, the paradox of back in time. So quick investment tip. If you want to invest in this current volatile market, just look back to 2008, 2010, 2014. Thank you. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, no, we're really back in that. I mean, if you were in your Trump era investment strategy for this past week, you lost big.
Yes, you did.
I don't even need to get into the numbers. There are many people, including myself, who lost a lot of money this past week because I didn't move money quick enough. You know, it's just, it's what happens. But you get yourself into the things that you know are going to grow. And Bill, you've had a very interesting experience so far with some of the behind the scenes with the crypto trading, with what is likely to, you know, start to become a bit more important.
Yeah. Very much important. And again, you have to have the strategy. Pretty much when we're looking at, honestly, we're looking at 2016, 17. That is start of the Trump era. However, the groundwork was laid during the Obama era. So investments take time, and as technology is improving in the crypto market, and what is, you know, you got a lot of crap coins out there. And then there are actual projects. And by the way, Bitcoin is king, will always be king. That is the new digital gold. Ask anybody at JP Morgan. So
yeah, it's always going to be ahead of everything else, because even if it drops to a certain point, people are just going to be like, okay, now's the time to buy the dip. You know, right. It's not going to be the thing that crashes behind other coins. So.
No, that's probably not going to be possible. No. Anyway, I would diversify, ladies and gentlemen. However, be very skeptical from where you get your information, because it is a brave new world, and you get a lot of scams. I am lucky enough to be with some people that are not trying to scam anyone. We're trying to help people, and that'll be something I may talk about later. I won't talk about on this particular podcast. And it's not financial advice. It's just my opinion. I must say that. However, I have results that make me smile. So the strategy is, folks, get with the right people. But That's where we're at. And yeah, I threw a lot of money away back in 2014 and all that stuff. Yeah, that if I had it today, it's the what a shoulda, coulda, done. Yeah, one of those. This show would be a whole lot different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I distinguish it from gambling in the sense that you actually can make conscious decisions that better your odds.
Yeah, and never go in thinking you're going to do what you've
made
on the news with Dogecoin or Dogecoin or Doggycoin.
No. I mean, it never makes sense to go all in on any one thing. And certainly you don't go beyond what you can afford to lose. So.
Right. That always remember that, folks. This is pocket change. And that's what I deal with. I'm not putting large sums of money in. But I've had great returns. And hold. Don't day trade or anything unless you understand the dynamics.
That's our new saying, too. I mean, although you have to be smart with this, too. But if you haven't sold, you haven't lost that money yet.
Exactly.
So think that's clearly.
Yeah.
You know, that's in is the this stock coming back? Market. In a lot of cases, it is. So.
Yeah. Well, not to divulge anything, but we both know someone that has some oil stuff. And, it's went so down. Mark my words, you want to hold it because it's coming back. If you've seen this Friday, it did a little bit and it will continue. And yes, gas is going up. And folks, it doesn't have to do with production because we have a surplus. We had an unexpected surplus. Even though we had the deadly cold out in Texas and the Midwest and all that, and you've seen that in that was just inept. That might be the best word for it, but their grid went down. As I mean, we are talking about some old news now, but that was devastating. But at the same time, and it's going to lead up to you're going to have renewable energies, and Biden's all about that, or whoever's controlling Biden and pulling his strings.
Well, I mean, if we continue on the money conversation, because it is related for just a second. What happened in Texas, notice what happened to the stock market in the renewable energy sector following.
Ooh.
It wasn't good.
No, it was not good. It was not good. You know, and I love the argument, Ryan, about wind turbines for a moment. Let's talk about that because this is something you understand. Everybody's like, well, wind turbines froze in Texas. And then, of course, you got the guys, well, look at these over in Antarctica. Ryan, could you explain the difference between one and the other for the masses?
Well, I mean, first of all, they do have more resistant cold wind turbines. But also, Antarctica is a desert climate.
Right.
What do you need to freeze? You need moisture. Moisture freezes.
The air can be cold, but the moisture. Yeah.
It's not the metal you're worried about or whatever the turbine's made of. That's not what you're worried about. It's the water.
Yeah.
In a desert climate, there's not a lot of water. Ice that's already frozen doesn't count because it's already frozen.
Yeah, because ice becomes a solid, and then there's liquid, and there's solid, and there's liquid.
The problem is when you have something that's liquid, and then it gets all over something, and then it freezes on it.
Right. But Ryan, even if they do have, it's a desert climate in Antarctica, but there's snow there. But what about if it does snow and wet? Don't you think it would fall upon it? The same thing.
Snow in Antarctica is kind of like worrying about grains of sand of the wind turbine by the beach.
Oh, well.
I mean, seriously. You know.
I'm talking about, they have antifreeze spray for those things. They take care of them up there.
Yeah, that's the point. That's actually the point I've been making about wind power for ever since it really started to become this popular thing. They are high maintenance.
Yeah, and they break down easily, and they don't work out very well in a hurricane.
No.
At all.
And that's an issue we've been having, I think, in Montana as well, because they'll get those high wind events in the wintertime. The what do they call them? The Chinook winds. Mm-hmm. And they're like 80, 90 mile an hour winds. I'm sorry, wind turbines aren't built for that.
No.
They'll never be built for that.
No, not any.
Because even if you build them for that, it doesn't happen often enough to be worth it. And if you don't build them for that, they get broken.
Right.
And it happens often enough where you have to repair them every year. So.
Psst. Hey, Ryan. Yeah. One other thing. Don't tell Joe Biden this. Or don't tell Kamala. Don't tell the Democrats this. But there's a certain thing that you have to use to lubricate these parts that move.
It wouldn't be a fossil fuel, would it?
No, no, not at all. It's canola oil. No, no. you're wrong. It's that's what it is. It's canola oil. That's what it is. Where's
definitely
no buzzer for that? Where's the buzzer for that? I think Brands. We've been hacked. We've been hacked. We were hacked. That's what it is. That's it. I can't believe we had that. So forget it. There, fine. It was supposed to be a buzzer for that. Oh, thanks, Branston. We give you a vacation and you're slow. Thanks. Thanks, Branston. Thanks a lot. Y'all thought Branston was going blue.
I think Branston comes from the same consulting firm that Massachusetts is using to run their vaccine appointment website.
Oh, well, all the buzzer works now, right, Branston?
35-day wait times. Sounds great. So
yes, it's great. Yeah, thanks. Anyway, but yeah, let's don't tell them that, though, because then that'll just hurt them.
Yeah. And there were articles out there. I don't have them pulled up right now, but going back, 5-10 years ago about concerns with the energy situation in Texas, because they were closing down a lot of your traditional power generating plants in favor of opening up renewable plants that weren't ready for the big show, as we've seen. It's quite frank. Everyone's just trying to, Texas is on their own grid, and that's the reason everything happened. No. It's they've literally been undermining their own grid. There's another thing, though.
Oh,
there was another thing.
What's that?
I'm trying to see.
I have some breaking news, even though this is a podcast.
Yeah, go for the breaking news.
Okay. Well, while you're looking for that, in the Biden era, that we're in, which is Obama 2.0. This should sound familiar if you are back in time. Are you ready for this? Just in. Iran-backed, I don't know what they call themselves, the Houthis. Houthis had a ballistic missile that was intercepted over the capital of Saudi Arabia at about 1:28 p.m. Eastern. Yeah. Hmm. Y'all ready for another Middle East problem? Well, I mean, we've already started.
Well, I mean, I already saw some headlines that we were bracing for retaliation.
Here we go.
Yeah.
And where do we have troops stationed at? Saudi Arabia. At the capital. Yes, we still have an air base there. We still have people there. Wonder why. Good job, Joe. Or whoever's pulling Joe's strings. Good job. John Bolton, you're getting what you wanted. You should ask for a job. Yeah, I said it. Yep.
I'm really sick of how all the journalists who love to be so anti-war are like doing mental gymnastics to defend Biden's
actions here. Suddenly war is good again. Well, we knew that. We knew that in 2008. We knew this. Don't worry. Joe's going to find a way to pay off the Iranians to make them happy again. He's going to get their money back. In fact, John Kerry's already kind of said that. Where, if we wouldn't have we would have not froze that money, you know, we sent, you know, this probably would not be happening. Thanks, John Kerry. Shut up. Now, who's the warmongers again? Remember Hillary, when she ran against Trump, said he would be the one that started World War III. Yeah, you know, I also know the saying, ladies and gentlemen, what they say, they're usually the ones doing. Just letting you know. You got to get the economy roaring somehow, or at least get your mind off of it. So why not have a little skirmish, shall we? Why not? What a way to end COVID suddenly. And not suddenly if you listen to this show. And that's not conspiracy. We already knew it. How many more times do you want to hear that stinking doorbell? Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out. We have more headlines to get to besides that. So we kind of know what the Middle East is going to do. You know, Trump got the troops out. Don't worry, boys. You're going back in soon enough. Really, yeah. Branch.
Anyway. No, and it was interesting because, you know, I got into this little spat, which I won against Aaron Brockovich.
Oh, look at what you've done.
On our CBP radio Twitter account. Yeah.
The one that will be banned yet again at some point.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. But we are no longer on Parler, you know, because we just don't see
it. We're just staying away from there. I'm sorry, people. Just goodbye. Sorry.
Yeah. You know where to find us. We've got our website. We don't need to be on these different social sites. There's too many to keep track of.
Trump's not getting sworn in on March the 19th. I'm just going to let you know that. Unless he's going to swear in for I don't know.
But the military.
Oh, yes, the military. No. But Lynn Wood had a great time in the Supreme Court. He really showed them.
Wait, isn't he the one who's defending Mike Lindell?
Is he?
In a lawsuit? Was it him?
Yeah. Mike Lindell with the photos. Yeah. Oh, my pillow. My pillow. But anyway, you were going somewhere with what you were saying, sir.
I'm trying to pull the thread up real quickly, but I had basically just called out Aaron Brockovich because they're, you know, defending this new wave of aggression, which is, you know, they say it's really tied to some attack on the troops, but it's very loosely tied, if that. In fact, many people call it a very late reaction that was so late it almost was pointless. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a first. Not really. Yeah.
So.
Poor Aaron. Can't believe you did that.
So, yeah. So it started out, I guess, Nancy Mace, the new congresswoman out of South Carolina, the Lowcountry District. I don't remember all the district numbers off the top of my head yet. But she called the attack on Syria a reckless abuse of his presidential powers. We should be ending wars, not starting them. So Aaron Brockovich responds, so now we just let our people get killed overseas? And it's like, someone got not if they're not there.
Our people got killed. What? Why are you?
Oh, my aching ass.
Oh, by the way, Bill English is back on Blog Talk Radio, folks. Go look for him. Enjoy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So then I'm like, it's amazing how difficult it is for them to understand the simple fact if they're not there. It's just willful neglect to understand it, to be honest, you know, because we should be bringing them home. And she's like, so she responds directly to me, right, because it was Dems who put troops in Iraq. And then I was like, well, it was. They voted in a bipartisan joint resolution, including a majority of Senate Dems. Both parties were wrong. And we were in the
Hillary Clinton was the champion them of it
this year until ahem, but go ahead and carry on with your false facts. But then she's like, yeah, unfalsified intel of WMDs that were nowhere to be found. Not completely true, but
not 100% true. But
so then I was like, sweet, so why are we bombing things now? And then she's like, sweet? And I was like, yeah, it's irrelevant to why we're still there. So yeah, sweet. And she's like, sweet, falsified intelligence sent thousands of our kids, including my kids, to fight while destabilizing entire regions, and you say sweet? And I'm like, I'm not here to blame a party, but the one in power is pulling the trigger. Our intelligence sucked because it was mothballed in the 90s. Patriot Act was a grotesque overreaction to being attacked, and that has never gone away, and we're still at war, no matter who's president.
Yeah. And her response to that?
Nothing? I can't even. I don't think she had a direct response to me since then.
But she was stuck in
2004. It's like,
oh, she's farther back.
All right. So we're talking about falsified intelligence or intelligence that was undermined because of Clinton mothballing back when I was in grade school. What does that have to do with us still being there now?
Exactly. Thank you. Good job, Ryan.
So Aaron Brock, short story, you lose.
Yeah.
Stop defending.
Yeah, just stop. Just stop.
And honestly, and this is a pinned tweet on the Carolina Bellwethering Twitter page right now. Trump won the nomination saying that was a mistake.
Absolutely.
Do people not get that?
No, they won't. Just like Trump lost because of COVID. Yes, folks, that's why. Nothing else. Minus, yes, do we think some... what was the term we coined? Legal fraudulent activity.
Yes, fraudulent activity. The legalized fraud. Yeah, the disinformation campaign from big tech, mainstream media, you know, your fake journalists. And you had probably the most important factor was the COVID factor on two fronts. One was the fear that the media was pushing. You know, everyone, you know, being told that Trump killed their relatives or whatever, when clearly that wasn't the case. There are countries that handle this much better, not by locking everything down, but by treating this damn thing.
Right.
I'm not talking about New Zealand, which is still...
You're talking about India, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Wow,
now, they did have stay-at-home orders and things like that, but that was not the majority of their reaction.
No, that was temporarily. Yeah,
very, very temporary.
So they can get their resources together, get a plan put together, and it's like, all right, now this is what we're going to do. Yeah, people don't like the vaccines or whatever. Don't worry. Johnson & Johnson now has one. It's a single dose that has been approved. I like to see the stats on that.
But, I would. But anyway. Their concern wasn't people's health. It was maximizing the negative economic impact on as many people as possible because that affects how people vote.
Yeah.
So if they feel like they are struggling economically and it's because of the current administration, they're more likely to vote for a different administration. So that was, it was all politics. The whole reason we couldn't get a relief package through from July all the way to January was straight politics.
Absolutely. And we called them out, both sides, ladies and gentlemen, both sides. I don't care if you're an RRD, there was... when it can be simplified. And don't worry, you voted him out or whatever, but he still tried to get y'all simple payments. But no, nothing's ever simple, ladies and gentlemen, in Washington, never will be. But I can't wait for that. I can't wait because the House passed the biggest spending yet. The $1.9 trillion deal, the House did it, and we're going to get that $15 an hour thing. We're going to get $15 an hour. Oh, wait. Wait. I know the Senate parliamentarians being Democrats.
It's not an essential part of budgeting.
Yeah, they pulled it out of the COVID thing. Yeah, the buck stops there.
Yeah, and the bill's still an abomination because, you know, you would have bipartisan support for true COVID relief. True COVID relief is only about 10% of this $1.9
trillion. Oh, yeah, we know that. It's to help Kumo, though, maybe.
We need a a Silicon Valley subway line as part of COVID relief.
Yes, yes. No. What?
Other in New York wants to build a bridge.
Yes, build a bridge. The bridge to nowhere. Remember that? What other lovely things? What other lovely things? More money to other countries that hate us, correct? Oh,
my goodness. Sending money overseas is definitely a critical part of COVID relief.
There, Branson's on the roll tonight.
Hey, finally, we'll come up. Got sick of being called out.
Yeah, let's stop there. Let's have our little quick commercial or whatever. And you'll hear about Anchor, which has been really awesome for us. Definitely check out anchor.fm, folks. You want to get a podcast, say what's on your mind.
Without a doubt.
And, yeah, definitely you want to go there.
Yeah, we're thrilled with it. And we've got plenty to talk about, including a certain lieutenant governor we're very, very enthusiastic about. Hope he's governor at some point.
I got a feeling he's going to be, because he's my governor. Just wanted to put that out there. So are we going to talk about? I think we was going to talk about a great lieutenant governor that happens to be
and the issue that he was talking about, because I've kind of noticed a theme that's been running around in certain school districts.
Oh yeah, you mean some that's trying to happen here, where
and all over, and I'm not just talking about the education. I'm talking about the unwillingness to work.
Oh,
like
yes.
The teachers out there who are like, you know, on strike because they don't want to go back to work. And they're like, we're not going to put our lives on the line for your kids.
And that's someone had a brilliant comment. We care about your kids. We care about your kids. Oh, wait.
Someone had a brilliant comment. It's like, you know what? I believe them. We should start believing them when they say that.
Yeah.
They don't care about our kids that much.
No.
Like, can you imagine a babysitter saying that? Like, I'm not going to put my life on the line for your child. That's the reason I'm giving my child to you for whatever designated period of time. Right. That's part of the job.
No, it's not. Ryan, you're so wrong. You're so not with it. When the parents leave, you wait about an hour, tell the kid to go to bed, throw him a bunch of fruit snacks, shut the door, and call the boyfriend over. Then you can be your own babysitter. Oh, sorry. Oh, was that too much? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just needless going to say, your lieutenant governor is great because he's involved in and encouraging involvement in these very issues.
Yeah.
Because it's fundamentally a big part of why we've gotten to this point in this country in the last generation, especially.
Yeah. But anyway, my lieutenant governor, some of you know as Mark Robertson. Well, he was at CPAC. He spoke about education. Let's take a listen to what he had to say. Great little speech.
Here's something. If there is anything conservatives need to tackle in this nation, not just in North Carolina, but across this nation, we need to wrestle the education system away from these leftists who have turned it into their own personal playground and are using it for political means to vex the minds of our youth. We need to fight it on every front. Our office is currently fighting it from the social studies standards that they have politicized to the indoctrination that we see in our classroom across the state and nation every day. We are not going to lie down and take this anymore. Education is for education, not for indoctrination. We need to make that point clear as conservatives. We need to get involved with our school boards. We need to get involved with our city councils. We need to make sure that the school board meeting on Monday is as packed as the football stadium on Friday night. And if we do that, we can make some real changes in our communities. And that's where it starts. So I encourage you all, let's listen to these speeches, take notes if you have to, but when you go back to your communities, get involved in education. It touches every aspect of American life.
Yeah.
I love that.
And what have we been preaching on this show and any of our previous American Beacon podcasts, all the way back to the Conservative Report, Damn Conservatives, when we were on Blog Talk Radio, when we was on Live 365, when we was on FGRN. We have always said the same thing. It always starts in your community. Local. Yeah. Local, 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 local.
Yeah, no, I mean, it starts as local as at home.
Isn't
and then it goes from there, which they're also trying to change, too. You know, we have a Health and Human Services Secretary nominee who won't commit to the possibility that parents could lose custody of their children for not allowing them to go through gender reassignment.
Correct.
Yeah. Where do you think they're going to make that determination?
I guess
it's going to be at their schools.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe teacher interviews. It's going to be visits to the school nurse.
Social
they're
workers.
They're going to take those conversations school. And they're going to imply that your kid wants to be a transgender.
Yeah. Just takes a guidance counselor of some sort.
Yeah. But, you know, there's another facet to this education system problem is there's a reason why American kids overall on the critical academic subjects are falling behind the rest of the world. And it's because we're focusing so much more in the classroom, so much more time in the classroom on things other than those things.
Yeah. Yeah. While the rest of the world has said, screw that. We got the Americans now. We're going to outdo them. That's not a joke. But it was so refreshing. That's why I said it was so refreshing. I want to go back to him for 1 second. Isn't it so refreshing to hear someone that's not a politician? That guy.
Yeah, no, he's incredible. Yeah.
This guy is a regular person, folks, that got asked to run. He thought about it. He said, well, the challenge like Trump. No, Trump was a big businessman. This guy, small business, has been broke, grew up broke, grew up a broken home. And if you played with the statistics, this guy ought to be dealing drugs on the side of the street somewhere. If you go by statistics, ask him. That didn't come from my mouth. He said it. But what'd he do? Kept fighting, persevered. He's got a wife, got children, grandchildren. He's living the life, and he worked hard to get what he has. Is he a multimillionaire? Absolutely not. He is not. He's lieutenant governor. He's just got common sense. Hey, is he full-blown going to deal with all the tater wedge issues we talk about here? No. Does he care about some of the crazy aspects of what politicians do? No. Will I agree with 110% of everything he says? Probably not. But I agree with 99.5 so far. Because he speaks plainly and he understands. He lives the way me,
yeah,
you, Ryan, all of us every day, worked every day. He knows what that is. He knows what a hard day's work is. Time to put in, to build something, to make something. That's who we need. Those are the type of people you need.
He's the type of politician that isn't a politician. He's a normal, everyday American. And what we see a lot of times, especially federally, is that that's all they do is be politicians. They have no other experience to qualify them to be to speak authoritatively on what Americans, you know, struggle with every day.
But Joe Biden, he's been around. He knows all about it. He's had businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, Biden's an abject failure in the private sector. Abject failure. Yep.
That's why his son gets him all his money. Anyway, I'll just to say, probably the best of the Bidens was his son, Beau.
Yeah. Yeah, his late.
No buzzer son. For that.
Yeah.
I would say he was the best one of them all. Yes, he was Democrat. Yes, he was raised by his father. But he went out there and did some work in his life. So, he's passed away now. A terrible, terrible thing called cancer. But my point is, Joe, no. He's probably been a politician all his life. That's right. He worked in a law firm. He was a very successful lawyer at one time. I knew I'd get a buzzer. But yeah, this is...
He's also the most devoutly religious president we've ever had.
Ask the Catholic Church of that. What they they would agree. We're going to measure all that. I wanted to say George Washington warned us of this. Of what we see today, folks, people that have been in there for 30 and 40 years, stagnant, run with the flow, whatever floats the boat to get the next vote so I can get tenure and...
Now, my father had an interesting proposal for what really should happen to politicians is, yeah, they should get paid enough for the expenses that are incurred from serving in public office. Sure. But when they leave public office, it should stop.
I agree.
Like, there should be no lifelong pension because you held public office, other than, like, what every American goes through for, you know, contributing to their retirement during that period of time worked.
Right.
You know, that would be included, but you don't get this lifelong security for the rest of your lives. You need to actually go back and do something. There used to be a time very early on where that's what a politician was. They were truly a public servant.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying America was perfect at the time, but politicians have become a different animal in this recent century. They really have.
And those old fossils knew that. They knew that. Well, that's why, like, George Washington, he could have went for a third and a fourth and a fifth. He wanted to go home.
Yeah, I don't know if he would ever have been voted out of office if he didn't leave.
No, they want to make him king. That's not a joke, folks. But I know they're going to change the history books for you and tell you how much of a racist he was. Because that when you think George Washington... You think racist? Well, some people do, because that's what they're being taught. You can indoctrinate a whole nation. It's not very hard. The Nazis did it very well, didn't they? Oh, yes, they did. Am I calling them Nazis? We report, you decide. I don't know. It works from the playbook. And communism, the same thing. But, of course, communism is the greatest thing ever. I mean... Come on, look at China, how great it is. It's called manipulation. But anyway, let's talk about more manipulations. Don't make me play this. I don't want to play this. It might indoctrinate me, since we're on this. The classroom song.
Oh, goody.
I don't want to do this. I don't want the classrooms. It scares me. Do we really have to?
If you don't stand up and show up at your school board meetings like the lieutenant governor has spoken to do, this is your future.
Yeah. So we warn you, folks. Listen to it. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm scared though. Wait, so hold on a second.
Privilege, please don't teach. If you don't believe that Black Lives Matter, please don't teach. If you don't believe in systemic racism and how it negatively impacts our students of color and don't want to help dismantle those systems, please don't teach.
She eats well. Yeah, thanks. Hey, Branson. Branson, did you like that song? He's trying to hack us. Okay. Branson didn't like that song at all.
Pure evil.
AJ didn't either. Yeah, that's the new song we're going to sing. Please never do that again. Ever. But that's exactly what he was talking about, Mark Robertson was talking about. That is what's going on. And to recap, at the start of the show, was talking about the teachers, don't worry, I'm scared to go back to school, even though they're getting the vaccine, you know, like, they're pushing the vaccines to give them to the teachers so they can get back into school. We still don't want to go. Well, our gracious governor, which lifted the mandates, by the way, Ryan, here in North Carolina. Yeah, take that.
Yeah, South Carolina. So your 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew is finally lifted.
Yeah, that everyone adhered to. Most North Carolinians, even though they voted the man back in, whatever. Barely, but voting back in actually wasn't barely. Still told Cooper what to go do with himself.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see the high school band practice in Washington, rather? Not Wisconsin.
No, I didn't. What happened in Washington?
They were wearing these beautiful, all-encompassing green tents. Yep. Keep themselves all very, very safe, I'm sure. I didn't get to see that, but I can imagine. But you will love the feature. It keeps everybody safe. So.
Oh, Bill English.
Oh, my aching ass.
Oh, they're walking around with Jesus, folks.
They look like Martians.
You know how many of those people that occupied up there were to get to use those?
Oh, you mean we'll see them on the streets of Seattle and Portland next?
Yes, that's where they needed them at. Memories. Memories. Yes.
Well, speaking of wonderful things that go on in other states,
okay.
Please Me LLC.
Who?
The company that Cuomo invested $12.5 million in.
Well, you know, let's stop right there because Andrew's just done a great job with. The man's got an Emmy Award nomination or something, wasn't it? I'm just saying. This man is a superstar. We can't be talking bad about him. But, hey, if he's investing in something, I want to know about it, Ryan. Tell us about it.
It is. So he was under the impression that he was going to get 1,000 ventilators from them. A company that has never sold the high-tech devices, but whose product line includes sex toys, children's books, and other items.
So. Well, when I think of children's books and sex toys together...
in the same company. Was this founded by Jeffrey Epstein?
Now, that's what I'm wondering. That's a good question. No, I don't know. So anyway... He gave them $12.5 million to a company.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of other things, but not ventilators.
That's correct.
Do they have refrigerators?
That's a good question. Do any of the said items in their product line need to be refrigerated?
wait just a second. Warning everyone, The following statement by Bill is Bill's alone and says not necessary to reflect the Carolina Bellwethering or the American people or Ryan Genovese. And this subject matter may not be suitable for children. Ready? Are you ready now? Yeah, you've been warned. You've been warned.
So.
Are we good? Are we good on that? Okay. Did he get ventilators mixed up with penis enlargers?
He might have.
Branson thinks
very,
so.
Very well. Might
have. He is being
sued by a former staffer, which most of the major media outlets is not covering.
But he's starting to cover it now, even though it was last year when we got it. We never heard of it before.
But he has credible allegations of sexual misconduct with a former staffer. So,
no, that was a little late, Branson. Okay. It sounds wonderful. Thanks, Andrew. He'll make a great attorney general if they need one, right? Well, he would fit close enough. Oh, my goodness.
Neighboring Massachusetts has paid out up to $687 million worth of fraudulent unemployment claims.
Ooh, you got three. There's a shocker. But we need more. We need much more. We need more. The employment rate is rising. Oh, wait. No, it's not. Unemployment claims. Excuse me. Oh, you want to talk about money? Let's talk about money.
Yeah, sure. On that subject,
money,
more or less.
Not money, much less people may lose some. We got 3,100 inmates about to be released because of COVID conditions in the state prisons in North Carolina. It was a simple solution for me. Why don't you just put them all in solitary for a bit? We're going to save people's lives. Everybody else was supposed to be locked down. Why couldn't they be? Yep. Wait, aren't they already locked down? What? But anyway, so we're going to release 3,100 of them or more early to settle a suit in North Carolina that never made it to court. Because the governor said so. We're going to release these inmates. Very early release because of the COVID conditions in prisons.
So this is going to help Cooper's polling, right?
Sure.
I guess it doesn't matter. But.
Oh, wait, that doesn't matter now. Will it help the next Democrat candidate for North Carolina? Unless he talks bad about Cooper, then maybe.
Yeah. Well, just like there's the wooden heads, I'm going to call the overzealous fans of Cooper heads. So
yeah, I like that.
So yeah.
Do we need to take one more break?
Sounds like it.
Let's do it. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about falsies, double, triple, quadruple masking, and insulin prices, and how PolitiFact is not a factoid.
Right. Can you believe we have gone this far into the podcast without mentioning falsie?
That's why we're going to do it after this. So, yeah. See you then. back from our last break.
Oh, yeah. We're moving right along.
What a break it was. So.
Yes, it was. Something tickled your fancy since we've been talking about days gone by?
Yeah. I mean, I've been surveying certainly the landscape. You know, obviously, we've been podcasting since before podcasts were really popular, although we took a long break, which is kind of why we're at our current level of popularity as opposed to a lot more popular.
Right, right.
But we still were. Very prominent people listen to us. But, you know, one of the networks that we were featured on quite a bit around when I was in college was Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And
let's pat our backs for a moment. We had some of the top rated shows there. And then we came together and had the top rated shows there, just about.
That's true.
I had the late night
conservatives. Yeah.
Yep.
So it started off with there were three shows kind of in our network starting off. It was Political Rant USA, it was My Conservative Report, and then we had the Plain English show.
Yep.
And we all got together as USA. Damn conservatives. So,
yep. Political Rant USA. I'm patting myself on the back. Ryan's trying not to let me. I patted myself on the back late night. I was the, would I say, between you and me, we had the most innovative ones. We were doing like commercial spots for everybody else. We were such nice people.
That's actually true. I forgot about how there was a lot of cross promotion between shows and things like that.
He did that.
But yeah, no, I mean, I don't find you if you're not doing Political Rant. If you're not doing Political Rant USA, I don't find you. I mean, it was like, wow, this guy makes a lot of sense. I mean, that was literally what happened. But, you know, it's evident to me that network or that particular website is just off the deep end. Like there's, first of all, just from a website perspective, they've made no upgrades to their site.
Yeah, they're pre-existing 2000 to 2008.
Like when you hear us say, JavaScript error, this is what we're talking about. Like the audio quality stinks. Like if I have to hear that jingle one more time,
the monaural staticky.
Like back when the network was still kind of a new thing, you know, you could actually do things like a live call-in show and get, you know, decent callers, you know, and talk about things. You know, there would still be a troll here and there, but it's become pretty obvious to us that Blog Talk Radio in 2021 is the troll network.
It is.
Like, that's what they are. I literally just took a gander onto what they are featuring on their conservative talk radio section. And one of the top shows that just popped up on their front page of conservative talk shows is National Socialist Movement Radio.
You're kidding. You're kidding.
You wonder why we're not there anymore. I really don't need to say a whole lot.
This is not a spoof or satire.
And that's the top show there. It's one
that's
of
listed as the top featured show right now. Yeah, like on the top of their page. Yeah.
Murdering scum, murderers.
Oh well, damn, AJ. And by the way, I really shouldn't say this. I'm going to say it. I always get myself in trouble. I know a computer programmer that works with different forms of code, and you can actually anybody's show there. Now, if you don't know what that sound means, I don't know. Figure it out. It
means you've been hacked.
Mm-hmm. You can hack a show.
Yeah.
You can hack it. And the sound audio is terrible. I think it's worse than it was.
Yeah. Well, it was what drove us to do the FGRN thing. for
a while. Yeah, well, that
is like, we we're just going over to RSS feed and we're going to be, you know, we'll have a live show, but it'll be broadcast through, I think it was Live 365 was hosting his, his Dictator Ron's channel.
Yeah. We, well, to give the dynamics, basically, we had a, had a server, built-in server, was a small server enough to broadcast, and we were broadcasting in HD before that was a thing. So we were broadcasting, for audio version, we were broadcasting high definition, and our stuff was just clean. It was direct, and then he just switched it, and we pretty much ran that block, except for commercials and stuff like that. And then we left 365 when it was dying out and went to FTRN. That's what we did. That's our history, so to speak. And now we just go to place, great places like Anchor, where anybody can go. Anybody can go. We're not even paid to say this, what I'm saying now. Yeah, you get the commercials and all. But what I'm saying right now, no, we're dead serious.
Yeah, they do all the distribution for you. Like, for a while, like, you were paying quite a bit of money to host the NewsNet USA.
Yes. We had our own website.
We created an RSS feed with our podcast through that, and we were hosting our podcast. I mean, that's Anchor kind of just clears that up and says, no, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You can just, we'll do your publication for you,
and there's no real limitation to it, and it's very easy to do, and
nothing falsy about it.
No, nothing falsy about it, but we can talk about falsy. We go from BTR JavaScript era to another JavaScript era, which is falsy. The only thing he's good at, he's the best political medical expert you'll ever meet. Just he just wears a mask when the cameras are on.
Yes. Like,
and two ply, three ply. Two ply is great for toilet paper. I don't like
it. True.
It's kind of rough.
The problem with anything thinner is that you can run into some problems.
Yeah. Real English would say bloody hell. But that, I don't even want to go there with that.
I like my toilet paper strong enough to not break. So.
Yes, there you go. Let's talk about Falsy and his and all these friends. What do we have?
Well, because we need to know if we have permission to hug our relatives after we have the vaccine. So.
Yes, that's true. We'll get Andrew right on that. He's under investigation though, right? Oh, thank God. Took this long. He's really upset some people. I feel bad for Andrew and his brother. They can't get together on CNN and talk about Q-tips anymore. Sad. Let's talk about this. What did Politifraud or Politifact, I'm sorry. What did they lie about again? About bumping up insulin and Biden was what?
So the conservatives had come up with this crazy conspiracy theory that Biden taking away Trump's executive order to keep insulin prices low caused insulin prices to spike. So PolitiFact jumped to the rescue and said, false.
False. Ask a diabetic. That might be a good idea.
What happened to the price of insulin from January 20th to 21st? Be a good question to ask a diabetic.
I was going to say so. That's what one person told me. It was so good, and then, what's this? What happened? Got to keep the pharmaceuticals happy. Now, who voted for Biden? See, there's the question. All this is related. Everything we've talked about tonight is related to a fact, an absolute fact. Who voted Biden? Big tech? Pharmaceutical? And higher end people on the Wall Street level. Why? Because, see, how do you make money on Wall Street? What's the easiest way multi-million billionaires make money on Wall Street? Anybody want to guess? Anybody? I'm asking Ryan, how do they make money? It's very simple. It's very simple. They buy at the dips, and if they can't get the dips, they'll create one. That's what,
yep.
That's what big-time hedge funds do. See, the Wall Street bet people have it right. That's why they manipulate the GameStop stuff. Of course, everybody jumps in after the fact, not understanding the dynamics of this. Hey, we're going to bump the price and hold, hold, and hold, and people lost their money.
Yeah, now, there's stuff to tank the price. And one is sort of the direct manipulation that we've been seeing recently, but the other would be just negative press.
Right.
Like, make something look bad for a day.
Yeah. So. It's easy to do. Now, here's the thing. If you're making the news, you know how to profit from it. Now, Richard Burr, don't care if he was acquitted or not. That's okay. He's Senator Mitch Lomber. Not North Carolina. Now, the thing that the whole thing is, if you held on to the stock during that whole thing, now, God forbid, if you bought it at the $200 mark, you still would lose your ass. If you'd bought it back when it dropped all the way back down to the $10 and $15 range, it jumped back up to $95 because they're still pushing it. See, the Wall Street bettors, y'all can call them the retail if you like. They're a conglomerate of people. They really are. It works both ways. Watch the Wolf of Wall Street and you'll figure this out if you understand it. If you just watch the movie, that's some cool sayings he said, then you don't understand it. Well, now the price went up as far as, what was it, $94, $95 it got to again? That's great if you bought a dip at 15. Do the math.
So I think it actually briefly spiked, I think, in the pre-dawn hours, Thursday or Wednesday, to 200 or just below 200.
So if you bought back on the dips again, now you're not hearing it as much. You're not hearing them complain as much, are you? I'm talking about the big boys, like they were complaining that we played on this podcast when I was on it last.
Well, you weren't having as much intervention from Robinhood, but you were having trading halts.
Right, which they'd already triggered.
Yeah.
That's to reposition, because the big boys made money on that this time, not just you retailers. Oh, no, no, no. Now, if you want to see a real manipulation, let's talk about cryptocurrency again. Now, again, I'm with a group of people that discuss. No, we're not big. We're not putting things together, you know, and becoming this whatever. Probably not right now, anyway. But there are people that hold lots and lots of, let's say, Bitcoin. And then, of course, they have trading bots. That even happens on Wall Street, folks. That drive the price, the sale, and then they can reposition, meaning they buy again at a lower rate and then run the market back. People will buy into it. Now, it's always a risk. But with cryptocurrency, there's a lot of different people. But there are what they call whales that go in and have a lot, and then they'll dump when the price gets high to collect the reward, so to speak. That's the way anything works, even in forex trading, anything. That's how this works.
And you have even higher volatility with cryptocurrency because the funds, when you sell cryptocurrency and convert it back to dollars, are available for immediate repurchase.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true with stocks.
Yeah, except for certain cryptocurrencies where a percentage will burn off, meaning they don't exist anymore. But that's only in the process. Right. Process as you have to understand how blockchains work, how programming works. That's the age we're in. It's still in its infancy. But could I recommend a few of my own personal opinion? Yes. Am I going to on this show today? No. Because I don't want want you guys to say, they said this, and then try to complain that we told you. We're just telling you how the market works. But then the point is, all of this has been played out before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and our big thing is you need to be making your own decisions anyway. Don't be following us. Don't be looking on Twitter for somebody tweeting about Dogecoin.
Don't look for the gurus out there. Yeah, go with somebody who's been doing it a long time and is not trying to take your dollar at all. What they're trying to do is help you. There's nothing wrong with helping you. And there's a lot of people that will do that. Yes, some of them might have a product, and then they show you it works. That's what you want. Don't jump on it. This is not get rich quick. That's the problem. Everybody jumped into the GameStop stuff at $150. Oh, you see that they're going to push it to the moon. Oh, that's been the fun thing. We have lots and lots of memes for this.
No, some things go to the moon and like stay there. Like,
yeah,
they don't come back.
And sometimes they go on the dark side of the moon. Where you never see it, and that's exactly what happens. A lot more falling than goes up. Dogecoin, for instance, everybody talked about the doggy coin. And I say this on this show to tell you, this is the time where everybody's looking to make money because they have to hedge themselves against what's going on in this administration. First of all, you better worry about taxes because they're already talking about it. They already have some regulation. And they want to do more.
And we're going to see a whole new round of currency manipulation from this administration just because of the financial crisis that all of this COVID spending plus all the other stuff they're trying to force through is causing.
And we want to talk about cryptocurrency again, how that relates. The Fed, this is old news if you listen to this podcast a while back. Oh, we're thinking about having our own stable coin, cryptocurrency, the Fed coin. They were talking to Ethereum a while back to make that. Of course, they want their own regulations where the Fed manipulates that.
They have this sweet deal with the U.S. dollar where basically all money exchange goes through the Fed from banks.
Yeah, people don't realize that. Yeah.
There was a reason, because I was trying to find out back a year ago, I think, when I made a payment on a credit card, why it was taking so long to go through, and it was a delay at the Fed. It's like all of those little transactions to banks go through the Federal Reserve.
And that happened last week.
What happened last week? Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, last week. Yeah. Transactions were not being processed. This was in the middle of last week, Wednesday, I believe. I could be wrong on that. Look it up. You'll find a little blip. It made some news. In the crypto world, it was holy crap. Coinbase, which is the biggest exchange in the United States, for the United States, not the biggest, but the most used, most easily used, all right, has been around forever. Coinbase had warned everybody that there was an issue, but it wasn't on their end. It was why? So they told you why. It was because the Federal Reserve could not process the payments. People were trying to buy crypto or using their debit cards, using their bank accounts or withdrawal or buy-in. Trying to withdraw, and they couldn't. Everything got stalled. They were down approximately 2 hours, the Fed. It happens. You think this money just happens? No. It's a bunch of numbers on a screen, yes. But how it transfers instantly is how good the server is or if it's working right that day. Yeah. That's why sometimes your direct deposit's late. It's probably not always the place you work or the payroll company, it's probably because there's a glitch and everything's being held up, choked up. It happens. It happens a lot more than you know. So if the Fed gets
especially
involved,
as our financial system has become more digitized.
So. Yeah, it will be. MoneyGram, wiring service, stuff like that. Actually, they're going to be degrading because of they invested in XRP. If XRP loses the SEC lawsuit, which is kind of a little, it may go out of business because they put a lot of money in it. Just telling you financial news, folks, that could affect you at some point. Not trying to make this a financial show, but in times of uncertainty right now, when gold dropped this week, and it shouldn't have dropped, but it did. I can tell you one reason possibly why. People are hedging with like Bitcoin and stuff as a backup for inflation. And everybody knows inflation will happen. With all this spending, with all of this money coming out, you will see inflation.
Now, the value of the dollar is only going downwards, which means things are going to cost more for you if you don't have a hedge against the value of the dollar.
Mm-hmm. And then wait for the taxes. I hope you enjoy those refunds this year. For next year, you're going to be going.
Oh, yeah. You want to know what a critical part of the new budget is?
Mm.
Money for audits.
Mm-hmm.
Auditors. Yes.
It's time to halt it. And if you think that's just for the rich guys, gals, no. You're sadly mistaken. Also, you want to, for instance, folks, you can go look this up if you like. Look at the IRS.gov page talking about where's my refund. If you, like so many people, filed early to get in on the first, you know, get in on the first round of putting your tax returns in early, especially you're going to get a refund, right? For those of you that didn't get the stimulus that you should have gotten and you qualified for, you would file a tax return, right? That's how you get it. If you don't know, yep. Folks, if you did get the stimulus for some odd reason and you should have or whatever, and they didn't have your tax information from a year or two ago, you didn't get it. That's why. Or you weren't, in their eyes, yeah, at the time, the information, qualified. Let's say you were qualified as of 2020. What you do, you file a tax for a 1040. I'm just giving it great, yeah, advice here. Now, here's the trick. We're talking about things being delayed, audited. You're going to be the last ones to get your check first in this first round of refunds. Unless, of course, you worked, then for some people. But if you just filed a tax return just to get the stimulus money, oh, they've accepted it. They ain't even approved it yet. Now, for the married couples or the couples or people that have children, you use child tax credit, right? You got that little extra? Well, you're being delayed until March to receive your refund. Doesn't matter how early you put it in. Go look it up. I wonder why. It's to, quote, for accuracy. Now, that's another word of saying, we're going to pre-audit you. We're going to double-check your paperwork more than we normally would. So you better hope it's right. And me, especially, I filed for the first time a negative return because I had a lot of business loss, my own business and income. I had more expenses and all that going by the tax code, right? So I'll be scrutinized.
That's fine. Yeah.
I'll get in a whole
I'm
lot
sure I'll
back.
Be scrutinized too, because my three prior years to this one were essentially negative returns as well. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I had major losses from not a lot of income and a lot of expenses related to getting that income. So,
right.
Yeah.
So guess what, folks? Nothing's free. That's the whole, yep, point. Nothing's free. And all this money, they're going to try to get every nickel back if they can. Right back into the treasury. And the fastest way is through your tax return.
Yeah.
Go figure. But you voted it. You get to deal with it. Welcome to 2008. All the way to 2014.
Oh, and you better start preparing for the next tax year too, because they're going, yeah, up. So I got a glimpse of how they're going up.
Yeah.
There's a tax credit if you're a self-employed person that is under the Trump tax cuts that passed in 2017, where the first 20% of your self-employment income is non-taxable.
Mm-hmm.
That's going away if they repeal the Trump tax cuts, that is, which is.
Well, you know, he did by executive order. He's already, yeah, he's done, yeah, some of it. Yeah. So he's for small business.
So your small business taxes, whatever they were this year, expect them to go up by about 20% for next year.
Yeah. Or at least half that.
Yeah.
Even 10%, which is not small. But enjoy it. You voted it. You get it. Maybe you didn't vote. I don't know. I guess you allowed it. I don't know. Starts at the local level. Starts at the local level, folks. That's what we keep telling you. Now, we'll see what happens in 2 years. But right now, what you got in Congress, and the Senate could stop some of this, but they already gave that power away because they were scared. It's true. I think we can leave it at that, Ryan. What do you think?
I
think we could leave them with that tonight.
So we will live to fight another day, another day.
Right. So. Until then, it was an SOS time. Until next week, or whenever. Hopefully we can come back next week. At least I can. Thanks for joining us.